To begin, I'd like to introduce myself, and my name is Lois Beckmeyer, and I'm from Tacoma, Washington. I'm an elementary school counselor. My background is in teaching, junior high math and PE, and all of that, I'm sure, sounds like nothing you expect from someone who's going to teach you something about drama. And I think that's part of, that's an important part of who I am and what this Chancellor Brown situation is all about. Because this is something that I am not particularly trained to do. I do not have a background in drama. But this is something that I started doing because it was something that was successful, was something that seemed a need. And so I got started doing it in small ways, and it became more and more of an interesting thing for me to do. Are you looking for Chancellor Drama?
No. Do you know what a choir practice is going to
do? The choir?
No, practice.
I don't think they say anything about the choir today, do they?
I'm not sure. They have said 4 o'clock. And I didn't know what they were going to be today.
I don't think it is
today. That was just
Sunday. I think it was just Sunday. Okay, now, just to give you a clue as to where I'm coming from and, you know, how I got involved in drama and all that sort of thing is, my husband was a parish pastor for 25 years in on the south side of Illinois, south side of Chicago in Illinois. And as a parish pastor, we had a youth group, we had a fairly good-sized congregation, and a youth group that we were having a hard time hanging on to. Well, one day along came a vicar to our congregation who came with his guitar and taught the kids all kinds of folk songs. Well, this was back at a time when guitars were not really very well received yet in the church. But the kids just were so excited about this. And by that spring, he just had kids gathered around him galore, who were singing these folk songs, and we were having special contemporary services and all kinds of things. Now, in connection with that, we started to first do some dramatizations of some of the gospel and epistle lessons, doing it very minimally, more as a choral reading type thing, that sort of thing. The kids enjoyed it. We put it more into an action forms thing. They loved it. And it just sort of mushroomed, and I started working with it, and I really enjoyed working with it. I felt that I had a certain capability at doing it, and it was very exciting for the young people that I worked with to do this sort of thing. And as that group built up, we ended up that we would do full-length sermon dramatizations, and we put it together with the contemporary folk choir, and then we would take these kids on tours. And we take them, you know, like through Minnesota and Wisconsin, and be at a different church every day, and sometimes 2 and 3 churches a day on Sunday, presenting folk services. And we'd be gone maybe 5 days over a long weekend and getting the kids out of school a couple days. And we'd maybe do 7, 8 services. And so they'd have the opportunity not only to do the dramatic presentations, they'd also have the experience of doing it in different church settings. We'd always have to go into the church and say, okay, what do we got here? All right, now what are you going to do when you know, on this part? Or how are you going to deal with that? You know, and look, here's 16 steps up to the altar. How are we going to handle that? And then the next church, no steps up to the altar. Things of that nature. So it was quite an experience for the young people. And the more they got involved in it, the more it snowballed, the more they were interested in doing it, and it became a very an exciting part of their church experience. When we went on these tours, we'd have 60-some kids going on the tours, and at a time when a lot of churches were struggling to keep a few kids in a, you know, Luther League or Walter League situation. So, anyway, that's sort of my background, where I'm coming from, that this was something that seemed to be a need in our church at a specific time. I got started in it in a small way, started working with it, gained confidence, and went ahead and did it. So what I'm trying to say is that this is something you can do too, you know. That if it's an interest of yours, if it's something you'd like to work with, you know, it's something you can do. And so go for it, try it. Start in small ways. And that's why today I'm going to be talking more or less on mini dramas, small, short dramas that you can do that don't take a great deal of preparation, that can be little starting points maybe for things that you would like to try. Just as an outline for what the series, I'll have a series of five at 4 o'clock here. And the first one is today is on mini dramas. Tomorrow will be on drama with children. Among other things, Christmas programs, which is always a, you know, headache type problem. But other things that you can do with children that's enjoyable and still gets into the area of drama, working with the smaller children. By the way, when I talk about dramas, I'll often say kids. And the reason I do that is because that's the group I have most often worked with. I had the group back in Illinois, in my own church now in Tacoma, Washington, where we live now. I have a high school group of young people that do chancel dramas. I do chancel dramas with groups from Pacific Lutheran University, and we present them in their chapel services. So if I say kids, you know, that's because I've been dealing with kids more. But don't, whatever you do, don't limit your thinking to kids. You know, whatever group you're thinking about, if you're in the Ladies Guild, you know, ladies love to do this type of thing. Choir groups are good groups. There's a possibility always of incorporating something like this in with a choral presentation. And so there are lots of possibilities. So don't limit your thinking. And if you have a mixed male-female group of any kind, that's super. Just, you know, like we were able to do last evening with mixed. Actually, not only male and female, but, you know, adults and children, too. It makes a wonderful combination. So don't limit your thinking in any way. All right. I said first one, mini-drama. Second one, children's drama. Third one will be drama and sermon, working with the larger, more full-scale type dramas. Fourth one will be different things, like role play, choral readings, that type of thing. And then the last one is drama as life. I will mention that Thursday night we would like to do something as part of the worship service. We'll do something quite short as part of the worship service. And if you feel comfortable participating, well, I'd like you to do that. Okay. Were you all here last night when we did the...
It was very nice.
What was your reaction to that?
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, in connection with that, now we did what we were doing more was, of course, the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading, and I've done those a number of times, and I have quite a bit of material on that. But a lot of this is very easy to put together, the Gospel and Epistle lessons. And one thing that I've done is just take the lessons and just take the lessons. Here, I'll give them one to you. You be Judy and you be Lisa. And this is a direct, this is strictly directly out of the Bible, but it's just put into a conversation piece, okay? This is from 1 John 3:18-24. Judy, would you start?
My children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action.
This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth. This is how our hearts will be confident in God's presence. If our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our heart, and that he knows everything.
And so, my dear friends, if our heart does not condemn us, we have courage in God's presence. We receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. This is what he commands.
That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Just as Christ commanded us, whoever obeys God's commands lives in God, and God lives in him. And this is how we know that God lives in us. We know it because of the Spirit he has given us.
All right, now that is pretty much in its simplest form, just taking a passage of Scripture from the Epistle lesson for that particular Sunday, and just making it into a choral reading. This obviously has been used this way and has been read. It's not been memorized, but it has been read. And we've done this a number of times. This can be, you know, done very, very easily. And anybody who has just a little feel for flow, you know, can separate the male voices from the female voices or something like that, and get the feeling of making it sound more interesting than just a straight reading. Okay. Now, there are other possibilities, of course. And one of the types that we did yesterday. And here's another one that's similar to that. You have a narrator. This is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. And the narrator, you have three individuals and Jesus. Now one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, and you have the individual going up to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And so he said to them, well, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he also said to them, now suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, and you have your individuals who come in, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. I am well asleep, but a friend of mine is on a journey and has come to see me, and I have nothing to set before him. Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Please help me. I'm your good friend, and I do not often ask for this kind of help. And Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is a friend, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And the person hands the person the bread. And so I say to you, then they come over the three, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds. For him who knocks, the door will be opened. The narrator says, now Jesus walks away. The narrator says, no, he doesn't walk away. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? The three then become, one becomes a magician, and he has a black hat, and he takes magical things out of the hat. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And the little boy, the one person has turned into a little boy, all excited, and the person pulls out a snake, and the boy jumps back. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion, and a spider, he pulls out a spider. Then Jesus concludes, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So this is almost strictly, you know, it's not drawing a great deal from the scripture. And yet it really portrays to people a lot more. But even in doing these, now this, of course, is not strictly following scripture like that other one that we read. It requires, you know, more thought if you're going to put together something like that. But you'll find that you also have to do a lot of research in order to do it properly. Now, something bothered me about what we did last night, and there was one point in there that I did not include, and I really felt bad about, was Jesus says to the disciples that they are to go to the people of Jerusalem and not to the Samaritans. And I kind of brushed over that as being not important. And today I feel bad about it because it was a point that I should not have. I sort of editorialized on that, and I should not have done it. So you have to be, you know, pretty true to what you're doing, and not just go at it lightly. I mean, I didn't go at it lightly, but I just realized later that I should not have glossed that over, which I did. Okay, so those are some things that can be done as far as scripture lessons are concerned. I have some little mini dramas that are kind of fun. We did a couple of them last week, if you caught one or two of them, with the Holden Miners who did them. Ruth, come on up. Let's do one of the little mini dramas here. Here, we'll just do the one we did.
We're the Hope Lutheran Players, and we'd like to present some short dramatic sketches for your consideration. We hope that you will be able to understand and enjoy these.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse
no, I welcome you. Could you
do? We're trying to do a play here, and I would like to speak to these people. So, if you want to join us.
Well, what kind of play?
Why don't you just sit in the audience and watch it?
Well, can't you just give me some idea of what it's like?
Well, we're talking about love, peace, forgiveness, and generally how people should act out of the love of their fellow, out of others, and God. Why don't you just sit down?
Well, have you had any success?
Well, yes, some.
That's strange.
Why?
Well, I heard about a guy once who tried the same thing, but...
But what?
Well, it didn't work out too well.
Why not?
I don't know. I guess people just didn't take to him very much.
What happened?
They crucified him. Well, so long.
Good luck. Yeah.
Okay.
I tipped that off by getting too concerned. Mm-hmm. If I were to do it again, I would do it. I think keeping it more up and straight so that the line at the end was more of a mm-hmm. surprise.
Yeah. You be aware that when we, you know, we do these out off the top of our heads now without any practice, so of course they're all a little fuzzy around the edges. But that's, you know, that's the type of thing that you can do easily with a youth group in an informal setting of some kind. When we've had youth services, we've done like in between gospel and epistle lessons, or you know. When we've had formal readings of the gospel and epistle lessons, doing this just little interlude things. Do you like this? I'm fine with it. How about you two men coming up here and doing Tiger and Charlie? It's called Basketball for Jesus. Are you men preaching?
Yes.
Both of you? You can probably do this. Choose your character there.
Charlie, come here.
Yeah, Tiger, what's buzzing you now?
Who's that kook over that you're talking with?
Oh, him. He's from the church.
What's he want?
Nothing.
Come on, Charlie. He didn't come around here for his health.
He's on a committee.
Missing people committee?
Yeah, something like that. Said the church is looking up some of the old timers, you know. Dropouts from way back.
Like you?
Like me? Yeah, like me.
I didn't like his looks, Charlie. Too square.
Yeah, he's square. Kind of scared, too. Thought I might give him trouble, maybe.
You wouldn't do that, would you, Charlie?
No, Tiger. I wouldn't hurt nobody from that church.
You're getting sentimental. Tell me, Charlie boy, how come this creep didn't come looking for you until that committee sent him? Those members, or whatever you call them, don't they do nothing on their own?
I think so, Charlie, but I'm not sure.
Well, if the church is what it says it is, how come they gotta organize all this stuff? Here, look at the paper. Full of church ads. Just like the movies. Strumming up business. How come? If the church is so great, how come people ain't flocking in? You can't fool me, Charlie. It's a racket.
No, you've got it all wrong, Tiger. I remember a really great Sunday school teacher who taught me a lot about the Bible and the life of Jesus. And the preacher came to see my ma when she was sick. There were some pretty good people there.
Yeah, like this kooky creep. What'd he say to you, Charles? Come back to the big brick building and look for God. Why, we can find God right here. Didn't he say we could?
That's what confuses me, Tiger. We didn't talk religion.
What did you talk about?
Basketball.
Now that something like that could be used as a good discussion starter relating to young people and evangelism or something like that. Are other people in evangelism, people of any size or shape. You want to try one more? Let's see how much time we have. Well, maybe we better not. We might run out of time. Let's talk a little bit more. One of the things that I think is really important when we do in any chancel drama type thing that we do, and I think that's a big help as far as feeling comfortable in doing it and doing a good job. And one of my big emphases is that whatever you're doing, you do it not as a performance. That any persons involved in doing chancel drama do not come up and think of it in terms of I'm performing, I'm great, I'm doing, you know, all this wonderful stuff. But that they think of it as a participation in worship. Now, that's one of the things I really emphasize is you are participating in worship. You're like the organist or the ushers or the person who bakes the bread for communion. You are participating in the total worship. And what you're doing is helping people to understand a little bit more about the message of Jesus Christ. You are making it easier for people to understand, to comprehend what the Lord is trying to tell us, and that this is your purpose. And when we do something like this, we make a point of talking about that ahead of time, we make a point of talking about it as we do it, and that's one of the last things I say, and we have a prayer for God's blessing. I mean, if there's ever a time, you know, that the Lord is gonna help you remember lines, it's gonna be when you ask his blessing on a part of worship. So I figure this is a promise he's got to come through on. And so we always have a little very short prayer. Kids are always, you know, kind of hyper just before that. I always get them in 15 minutes before church service starts, so we have a chance to sit down if they have any questions. Usually they come in with their last minute glimpses at the script. But I tell them, hey, put the scripts down. You know, there's no problem. Does anybody have any questions? Otherwise, let's have our prayer and we'll go sit upstairs. So we do that. But I think that's really important to emphasize so that they don't get the feeling, you know, that hey, I'm some hotshot actor or something like that. Another one of the things that is very, very important to me, and that is that anybody who wants to do this type of thing is in. If we announce that we're going to have a play, we're going to do something, I say, who wants to be in it? The number of people, whoever says they want to be in it, they have an automatic in. Because, you know, if the script I'm thinking about doesn't have enough lines, I'll find a new script. Or I'll rewrite the one. I'll write in parts. I'm great at doctoring up scripts. I'll write in parts. I'll subdivide parts. There's always something, a narrator or some kind of concluding thing that they can do, some way that they can participate in it. But I think it's important that everybody gets a chance to participate, to do it. I've had all kinds of kids who have taken the opportunity to do this. And again, I'm talking kids because that's what I deal with a lot. A lot of them have never had the opportunity, maybe in school, and you know, just think, hey, this would be kind of a neat idea to try it. It's sort of non-threatening. And so they get involved in it. I've had kids that have had trouble memorizing, where I have to take them aside and work separately with one individual kid to get him to learn that particular part. I had one boy who was dyslexic, and he was very sharp, good-looking boy, very handsome, and very, very sensitive to criticism. But he could not, from the script, he could not memorize it. And it was, he had the lead role, but could not memorize from the script. And the whole group was getting kind of nervous about it because, you know, we were like in the third rehearsal and he was having trouble just getting off home plate with the memorizing. And all of a sudden it occurred to me that he would never memorize from the script. I said, okay, now you know what this is about. Now you just say what's happening. And so from the approach of, I said, you're not going to look at the script anymore. We're just going to tell you what's happening. And you say it in your own words, and we'll work it, we'll straighten it out as it goes along. So by that time, he pretty well knew what the storyline was. And he just said it in his own words. And then as we went along, we straightened it out so that he got it to run a little smoother so that, you know, he cued in everybody and so on. He ended up being a magnificent Pontius Pilate is what he was. He was a magnificent Pontius Pilate. But I don't, that's not the easiest way to do it, but that is possible. Mm-hmm. I also had a retarded boy who had begged me for a couple years to be in one of the plays and I had kind of avoided it. And then we had something I thought, well, I'm willing to take a chance on you, Henry. You know, by now, of course, he was just dying to do this. And so I gave Henry a part. Now, what happened there was really very exciting for me. Not with Henry. Henry was very enthusiastic and worked like a dog to get this right. But what happened with the other young people in the group is because they were so supportive of Henry. And if he wasn't in the right space, I'd see his elbow, you know, poke him over, you know. And they were all looking after him, you know, to see that Henry was in the right place at the right time. And if he'd miss his line, somebody always threw it in, and it would go on. And it just worked out great. You know, there was a lot more, I think, that the kids in general got out of that than Henry's participation. It was really a meaningful experience. And he did just a bang-up job. It was kind of a wild scene where he could just kind of be himself. And it worked out really well. So there's more that happens in doing chancel drama than just the drama itself. But it's the interaction of people and the development of people. I'm going to pass this one out and just have you read through it. What's kind of interesting about it is, last week I passed it out, just we didn't talk about it or anything, but I passed it out just as a freebie at the end, and one of the ladies in the group said, oh, I wrote this. We'll talk about, by the way, where to get these materials and all that, because that becomes a problem. We'll talk about that, but not today, as we go along. is that you would have three umbrellas, and that you would have three people with the three different types of umbrellas. The one umbrella, let's say umbrella one, has all kinds of, it would be a big umbrella. No, it has the ones with love, hope, dream, forgive, trust on it. You see where I'm reading there under characters. Cut away part around the forgive, trust, so it flaps loosely. A zigzag, a slit should go through the trust patch. The second umbrella is really raggedy, fence, folks, etc., etc. On one ragged patch, print hope, on another love, on the third live. And then a huge umbrella that says, come unto me.